Well, give your pastor a great hand. Let him know how much you love him. Lisa and I sure love Pastor Jan and Sue. And man, we've known you guys for a long time. And you've got great, great leaders, great pastors here. Before we jump into the message, if we can go ahead and pop up the first slide, I want to share a few things with you. This is the topic that we're going to be sharing about tonight. But I do want to talk about some of the materials. Pastor Jan was very gracious and mentioned some of the materials that we have. And if we could go to that first slide. This is a picture of the books that we have. The center stack are English, and the others are the different languages that the books are in. Chinese, Russian, Arabic, Indonesian, Greek, French, German, Spanish, Portuguese. And we have, you know, new books coming in, you know, on a semi-regular basis in different languages. And so it's always a joy to see those being used in different countries around the world and different Bible schools and by different ministers. The next slide is all those same books in English. And we have all of those here tonight in case anybody would want to get any of those. I mentioned that when my first book came out, it was called Life After Death. It's a book on grief recovery. A lady called and said, Tony, I just want you to know that book is the best book I've ever read. And she said, next to the Bible, I think it's the most inspired, anointed book that's ever been written. And I didn't know what to say. All I could think of was, well, Mom, thanks. That's nice of you to say. So. How many of you know every mom thinks, you know, well, anyway, but all those books are out there if they're of interest to you. Next slide is we also have a bunch of audio and video resources out there. And you say, what are those little things? Well, they're the size of a credit card and they have a little part that pops out and it's a USB drive that plugs into your computer. And you can download audio to iTunes and onto your iPhones and things like that. You can watch the videos on your computer. So just ask about those if they're of interest to you. Next slide is this is the brand new book that we have coming out. They're saying it's early summer, but they just sent me the edited manuscript yesterday. And so I don't know if they're ahead of schedule or what, but I'll be reviewing that manuscript, sending it back. And then I think from there, it just kind of goes into layout and production and all that. So, but regardless, you can pre-order it. And whenever it's released, you can pre-order it and we will ship it to you directly. So you can make those pre-orders tonight if you're interested. And then after that, what do we have? These are the countries that Lisa and I have been privileged to preach, and we've been able to preach in 31 nations. We'll be going back to some of these this year. Plus, we're going to the Philippines for the first time, and we're going to Papua New Guinea for the first time. And we are just so thankful that we get to do. And the reason I wanted to share this with you is because when you give to your church then in turn, I don't know how many different ministers you support in different places, but every month like clockwork, by his word, sends us financial support and helps us travel to these nations. Sometimes we help underwrite some of the translation works and things. So you have a part in everything that we do. And so we just want to say thank you. Thank you for giving to your church and supporting your church, because not only does it help keep the base strong, but it helps your church do things out beyond its four walls. And thank you, Pastor Jan, for considering us good stewards to, you know, invest in. We thank you very much. The next slide, I want to show you some pictures. That is Turkey. That picture was actually taken just about a mile and a half from the ruins of ancient Ephesus. And we did a Holy Spirit conference there. I think that was August of 18, I think. That we did that, and just people from all over Turkey. You know, Turkey's 99.9% Muslim, and but we had a wonderful time with these wonderful, precious believers. Most were from Turkey. We did have one Iranian pastor cross the border and join us, but we had a great time. After that, That's the Bible school in Paris, France. That's Rhema Paris. They're doing a lot of good things in the French-speaking world with the gospel. Next picture is that's this spring praying for folks that had come down for an altar call in Beirut, Lebanon. That was our second trip to Lebanon. Had a wonderful time there. Next slide is Pastor Jan. That's Rick Renner's church in Russia. Yeah, that was just in October of this past year. We stopped there on our way. Well, we ministered in Russia, then toured Israel, then stopped in France. But that's Rick Renner's church. And then after that, we have, that's Egypt. That's the gentleman that spearheaded the translation of four of our books into the Arabic language. The next picture shows we gave those books away that night to 60 different Egyptian pastors that came together. I know that just looks like a regular room, but we're actually on a boat in the Nile River in Cairo. And they rented a boat that night for the meeting with the 60 pastors. They got free books, and I was able to teach them for 90 minutes or so. Next picture is that's also in Egypt. That's in Cairo, ministering to a new believer there. Next picture is that is a Kurdish pastor. Have you been hearing a lot about the Kurds in northern Iraq? That's a Kurdish pastor holding the book, and that's one of our books in Arabic. That's the book on grace in the Arabic language. And then next picture is Brazil. Those are all Portuguese-speaking pastors, ministers. And the final picture that we have is from last spring, and that Lisa and I spent 35 days in Brazil. We were in 10 different cities, and that's one of the meetings in Sao Paulo. So we just wanted to say thank you for supporting your church, because when you support your church and keep your church healthy and strong, then that enables your church to help us. Can I have the mic, Pastor Jan? Could I have the mic? Is it turned on? It will be. Thank you, Brother John. Lisa, come on up. I'm going to have my wife just pray and bless you and pray for the meeting. This is my wife, Lisa.
Good evening, everyone. Let's bow our heads. Father, in Jesus' name, we're so thankful to be your children. We're so thankful to be able to have the privilege to gather together in your presence. And we welcome your presence for this whole evening. In the worship, it was so evident, Father. And now, as Tony ministers, we just believe that your presence will be manifested in such a way that hearts and lives will be changed tonight, and it will continue on through the rest of our lives. We'll turn our eyes on you every day of the rest of our lives, and we'll follow you because, Lord, you are the life that we seek. You're the one that our hearts long for. And so, Father, I just pray that tonight just causes us to get excited about the things that you want to do in our lives and in the lives of those around us. And we just ask you to bless this evening together. Anoint Tony as he ministers and give us all hearts to seek your face for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, as Pastor Jan mentioned, we had a good time today. He interviewed me, and I interviewed you a little bit. I asked you a few questions, but about the role of the Holy Spirit in the church. And I want you to know that Christianity is not just an intellectual proposition. It's not just information and facts. It has information. It has facts, but it's more than that. Christianity is more than just moral and ethical. I believe our Christianity should affect our morals and our ethics, don't you? But it's more than just that. How many of you know Christianity is a relationship with the Trinity, with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? And we are living in an age, if my understanding is right, where Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and the Holy Spirit 2,000 years ago was poured out into the earth upon the church to be our comforter, our guide, our teacher, the one who empowers us, who strengthens us, who leads us, who guides us. We are really living in the age of the Holy Spirit. And so our relationship with God is not just an intellectual relationship. It's not just an ethical code of conduct upon this earth. But it's that, but it's so much more. It's a relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. If we could go to that first slide, I wanted to show you something that Reinhard Bonnke said. Reinhard just recently went home to heaven. How many of you knew that? And he probably preached the gospel face to face to more people than any person that's ever lived. Some of his crusade meetings had a million people or more. And he's preaching the gospel and miracles happened and things of that nature. He passed the torch to a young man that he had trained, and that ministry is still powerful and effective. But listen to the words that Reinhard said. He said, Christianity is either supernatural or nothing at all. We had and still have, notice we still have, a supernatural Jesus with a supernatural ministry, creating a supernatural church with a supernatural gospel and a supernatural Bible. How many of you know the Bible is supernatural? The words of Scripture were breathed. The word inspired means to be God-breathed, given by inspiration. And we have a supernatural Bible. Take the miraculous away, and you have taken Christianity's life away. The church becomes an ethical society or a social club when it is intended to be the grid system for transmitting the power of God into this powerless world. You and I are conductors of God's power to the world. You know, one of the things that I really want to see happen is, as I share this material, as I've been privileged to preach this in, I don't know, 20, 25 churches so far. And I told Pastor Jan before the service, this is the very first church that I've been able to come back to where I presented the initial material. So you're the only church anywhere that has gotten part two. And so, but part two is just going to be tonight. And it's just going to be a few thoughts, but it's building on the material that I shared with you last year. And I realize some of you may not have been here, and I'll be honest with you, I realize some of you that were here probably, you know, you've had a lot happen since I was here last, and you may not remember everything. But what I did the last time that we were here was I simply went through church history, and I started with the end of what we call the apostolic era, when John, the last apostle, died. And we picked up probably with two of his disciples, Ignatius of Antioch and Polycarp of Smyrna. And we went through a quick survey, very quick survey, of 2,000 years of church history. And we identified different ministers throughout 2,000 years that were filled with the Spirit and believed in the supernatural and prayed for the sick and cast out devils and saw God's supernatural power impact people's lives. And the essential point that we wanted to make through all that is this, is that God has never withdrawn the Holy Spirit from the church. God has never withdrawn or removed His spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, from the church. Now, while I say that, it's absolutely true that there are countless times that folks called Christians did not open their heart to receive what God had. You know, the church has not always been faithful to lean on the Holy Spirit, to rely upon the Holy Spirit. There are many people, you know, I shared, I think last time I was here, that I was raised in what we'd call a mainline denominational church. And I'm not anti anybody. I'm not against anybody. But I just know from my own experience, I was introduced to biblical thoughts. I was introduced to certain doctrines. I was introduced to some of the historic creeds of the church, which I love. I think the Apostles' Creed is wonderful. But nobody ever told me that we can be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit in our life today. Nobody told me that. Nobody told me that if we look to God and trust Him in expectancy and in faith, that we can see healings happen and things of that nature. To me, Christianity was primarily intellectual and ethical, and it is that, but it's so much more. There's a spiritual dynamic to the presence and the person of the Holy Spirit, and if all we have is a form of ritualism and intellectualism and formalism in our faith, then we're going to miss out on so much of what God has for us in terms of His presence and in terms of His power. And I don't know about you, but I want the fullness of the presence of God. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And so I'm not going to do what, if you were not here last time, or if you just like a refresher, I started to say the cassette tapes, I'm dating myself. Maybe you can get the online version or the CDs or something. I don't know what the church has available, but you can go through whatever channels are there and get what I covered. But I'm not going to go through all that we did the time before, but I do want to show you a few things about some things that some famous preachers said that you may not have known that they said, things that you didn't know they believed, things that you did not know they experienced. Because I've studied church history a whole lot, and many people who present church history, they kind of edit it. Do you know what I'm talking about? They might not tell you everything. They might tell you some of the but they might not tell you some of the healings or miracles or manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And that's really why I wrote that book, is I wanted to fill in the blanks. There's a lot of great material on church history, but if we don't study the supernatural element of church history, we're like Reinhard Bonnke said, if you take the miraculous away, you take the life of Christianity away. How many of you have heard of Charles Spurgeon? Do you know Charles Spurgeon was not a Pentecostal preacher? Charles Spurgeon was a Baptist. And I'll tell you what, thank God for the Baptists. How many of you thank God for Baptist folks? They're strong on the new birth and getting people saved, getting people born again. But a lot of people don't know that Charles Spurgeon, the great British preacher, he was so eloquent, he was known as the Prince of Preachers. And I'm telling you, you read his stuff, he earned that title. I mean, just eloquence just constantly came out of him. But what a lot of people don't know about Charles Spurgeon is that he had a profound appreciation and recognition for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at one of the things he said. Charles Spurgeon was talking about, some of their prayer meetings. And he said, more than once, we were all so awestruck with the solemnity of the meeting that we sat silent for some moments while the Lord's power appeared to overshadow us. And all I could do on such occasions was to pronounce the benediction and say, "Dear friends, we have had the Spirit of God here very manifestly tonight. Let us go home and take care not to lose His gracious influences." But I want you to notice that what he said. More than once, we were all so awestruck with the solemnity of the meeting that we sat silent for some moments while the Lord's power appeared to overshadow us. Isn't that beautiful? Do you know, sometimes we have meetings, and there's a lot of joy and a lot of celebration. And I'm not against that in any way, shape, or form. How many of you know the Bible says, shout unto God with a voice of triumph? But did you know that, like, that's in Psalm 47, verse 1. But did you know the verse that ends the psalm before says, be still and know that I am God? How many of you know God doesn't move the same way every time? And we need to, we shouldn't try to make certain types of things happen, but we should let Him, influence us in our personal life as well as in our corporate worship. But here's another thing Charles Spurgeon said. He said, another great work of the Holy Spirit, which is not accomplished, is the bringing on of the latter day glory. In a few more years, he said, I know not when, I know not how, the Holy Spirit will be poured out in a far different style from the present. That, Pastor Jan, that sounds to me like he's prophesying. And he went on to say this, the next slide, he said, I do hope that perhaps a fresh era has dawned upon us and that there is a better pouring out of the Spirit even now. For the hour is coming, and it may be even now, is when the Holy Spirit shall be poured out again in such wonderful manner that many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased. The knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the surface of the great deep. Do you know what Charles Spurgeon is prophesying? I think he's prophesying. And he's prophesying an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that he saw in the future, but he said it hasn't happened yet. Maybe it's starting now. But do you know what happened not long after Charles Spurgeon? Was Pentecost, Azusa Street, different outpourings of the 20th century. Now, anybody here heard of D.L. Moody? D.L. Moody was a great preacher in Chicago. He was like the Billy Graham before there was a Billy Graham. And let's look at what he said. We've got a slide on him. He said, there has been much inquiry of late on the subject of the Holy Spirit. In this and other lands, thousands of persons have been giving attention to the study of this grand theme. I hope it will lead us all to pray for a greater manifestation of His power upon the whole church of God. And this is really something. How much we have dishonored Him in the past. How ignorant of His grace and love and presence we have been. And then he said this. He said in the next slide, he said, through His agency, which means through the work of the Holy Spirit, we are born again. And through His indwelling, we possess superhuman power. Does that excite you? Through His presence, through His indwelling, we possess superhuman powers. The Holy Spirit, who inspired prophets and qualified apostles, continues to animate, guide, and comfort all true believers. I believe and am growing more into this belief that divine, miraculous, creative power resides in the Holy Ghost. Now, here's one more. He said, see the results. When the disciples got the power, see how He came on the day of Pentecost. It is not carnal to pray that He will come again and that the place may be shaken. I think the church has made this woeful mistake that Pentecost was a miracle never to be repeated. I believe if we looked at Pentecost as a specimen day, and by that he means yeah. He said, I believe if we looked on Pentecost as a specimen day and began to pray, we should have the old Pentecostal fire back in Boston. How many of you believe we could have the old Pentecostal fire back in Tacoma? Yeah. He was in Boston. That's why he said that. He said, that's what we want. May God open our eyes and reveal it to us. See, all these people, not just Spurgeon, not just Moody, but many people all through the ages realized there's more. There's more than what we're experiencing. Let's stir ourselves up. Let's wait on God. Let's trust God to manifest His presence, manifest His power, and do big things in the church and for the church and through the church. And when we say in and for and through the church, we mean in and for and through you. Because you are the church. We are the body of Christ and members in particular. Well, in Moody and Spurgeon both died toward the end of the 19th century. But when the 20th century hit, there was a worldwide outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Really, I think what they were describing happened. And it didn't just happen. Do you know the main place that's always referred to? Azusa Street, Los Angeles, what was it, 1906, 1907, thereabouts? There was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Azusa Street, on Azusa Street. And the guy who led that meeting, if we can go to the next slide, was a black gentleman named William J. Seymour. This was such a phenomenal. He was the son of liberated slaves. His family was from Louisiana. They had been slaves and had been liberated. And this young man began hungering after the baptism, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. He had become convinced that there was another dimension of the power of the Holy Spirit than what he had experienced. And Pastor Jan, this to me is fascinating. He was preaching the baptism in the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues before he had ever spoken in other tongues. He was preaching it before he experienced it. And see, God can move in some pretty interesting ways. If we go back a couple hundred years before these guys, John Wesley was struggling with faith because he was so legally minded that he thought he had to earn his salvation. And he didn't have the assurance of salvation because he was trusting in himself. And so he asked another minister who had the new birth, who had the assurance of salvation. He said, because Wesley was a preacher. Can you imagine a guy preaching and not even really being sure if he's saved or not? It's not that uncommon. It happens all over the world, people preaching things. But Wesley was so hungry for truth. And this minister told Wesley, this is what he told him, because Wesley said, I don't think I really have faith. And here's what this guy told him. He said, preach faith until you have faith. And then you'll preach faith because you have faith. And see, that was what happened with Seymour. He had not experienced the infilling of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues, but he was preaching it because he saw it in the Bible. Do you know sometimes we haven't experienced certain things in the Bible, but he wanted it so much he was preaching it before he experienced it. And then in one of their prayer meetings there in Southern California, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit started falling and people got filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was a 3-year outpouring and people came from all over the world to see this phenomenon. It's just like on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out, people came from all over Jerusalem to see what was happening. And 3,000 people got saved on the day of Pentecost. But when this outpouring happened in Los Angeles, it lasted 3 years essentially. And people came from all over the world. And countless people were filled with the Spirit. And they took this fire to all
corners of the world. But I should point out, too, that Azusa Street wasn't the only place that the baptism in the Holy Spirit was being poured out. There was a woman in India. We talk about her in the book. And she had gone to England and got educated. And while she was there, she met Jesus in a profound and personal way. And she went back to India, and she was really working hard for women's rights and bringing women up from, you know, being a lower class citizen. And she had this home for orphaned girls and all that. And she had a whole bunch of women helping her. And they had an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in India. And 30 of her female workers started going out to all the villages preaching Jesus. And it was in Azusa Street there. Around the same time, Pyongyang, what today is in North Korea, Pyongyang had an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. God, just in different places around the world, there were outpourings of the Holy Spirit. God poured out His Spirit upon all flesh. And you know what? We're still in that era. We're still in that period. You have the Pentecostal movement, then you have the healing revival, then you have the charismatic movement, then you have the word of faith movement. And I believe we've been in a little bit of a lull between movements right now, but I believe we're ready for another surge, another burst of power from heaven. And we need to learn from these people. We need to learn from their experiences. I love one thing that William Seymour said, if we could pop back to him again. William Seymour, in talking about Pentecostal power, he said, when you sum it up, it's just more of God's love. He said, if it does not bring more love, it is simply a counterfeit. You know, when Pastor Jan and I were talking today, he asked a question that was really a good question. I had to kind of think hard and dig deep to get. But he said, you know, what's the one thing that this thing is really all about? This miracles and the supernatural and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I said, really, it comes down to the love of God. And William Seymour said it so well. He said, Pentecostal power, when you sum it all up, is just more of God's love. If it's anything different than that, it's just a counterfeit. So Seymour was, you know, early in the 20th century, and we saw all these things happening throughout the 20th century. And there's one individual that I want to talk about that, you know, I talked about Charles Spurgeon, and I told you he was not a Pentecostal. He was a Baptist. He wasn't a charismatic. He was a Baptist. And there's another guy that I want to talk about who is not a Pentecostal or a charismatic. He was a Baptist. You've probably heard of him. Let's look at the next slide. Oh, yeah, Billy Graham. How many of you know Billy Graham is probably, you know, I talked about Reinhard Bonnke worldwide preaching face to face to more people. But probably nobody's been more influential than Billy Graham. And you know, I suppose that I could do this seminar, do this teaching, write this book, and not mention anybody except those who spoke in tongues. And Billy Graham, there's no indication that he spoke in tongues. I assume he did not. But look at what he said. And today, when the gospel is proclaimed on the frontiers of the Christian faith that approximate the first century situation, miracles still sometimes accompany the advance of the gospel, as indicated by both the prophets Hosea and Joel. As we approach the end of the age, we may expect miracles to increase. Let's look at the next slide from Billy Graham. He said, as we approach the end of the age, I believe we will see a dramatic recurrence of signs and wonders that will demonstrate the power of God to a skeptical world, just as the powers of Satan are being unleashed with greater intensity. So I believe God will allow signs and wonders to be performed. Now, I don't know about you, but I agree with Billy Graham. I have learned a few things in preparing this book and preparing this material. I talked to an individual who was somewhat close to Oral Roberts. Now, how many of you know Oral Roberts was kind of the poster person for the Pentecostal movement? And Oral Roberts built his ministry on praying for the sick and the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, what's interesting is that Billy Graham was not known for praying for the sick and not really known for emphasizing the power of the Holy Spirit. Billy Graham was known for preaching salvation. But how many of you know we don't have to choose between those? How many of you know that's all part of the same package? I thank God Billy Graham was my brother. I honor him and esteem him as a wonderful servant of the Lord, and honor Oral Roberts and Kenneth Hagin and so many people who've done what God called them to do. But a friend of mine who is friends with Oral Roberts said that Oral told him personally that that Oral and Billy were very good friends. And I know for a fact that when Oral Roberts University was dedicated in 1967, Oral Roberts invited Billy Graham to be the graduation speaker. And this friend of mine told me that Oral Roberts had told him that when he was visiting Billy Graham in his home, which happened on more than one occasion, happened on a handful of occasions, and they met in different places at different times, that Billy Graham, and even this makes me appreciate Billy Graham, his humility. He was with maybe a handful of minister friends, and Billy Graham asked this handful of minister friends, "Would you all pray for me? Would you all pray for me?" And so these ministers gathered around Billy and began to pray, and when it was Oral's turn to pray, Oral did what Oral does. Oral began praying in other tongues. Oral began praying in the Spirit. And this is what Oral told my friend. When they finished that time of prayer, Billy Graham said, "Oral, nobody's ever prayed for me that way before. Thank you. That blessed me." And when they got together on future occasions, you know what happened? When they got together on future occasions, Billy Graham would always say, "Oral, pray for me in other tongues. Pray for me in other tongues." I know this. I've talked to people who were present when this happened. They invited Billy Graham to speak in, it was around 82, maybe 1983. They invited Billy Graham to speak at the headquarters for the Assemblies of God in Springfield, Missouri. Now, Springfield, that's the headquarters for the largest Pentecostal denomination in the world, the Assemblies of God. And so Billy gets up and preaches, and he doesn't finish his message. You know, he's being sensitive of time, which you're probably praying I'll be sensitive to time too, but I will be. I won't preach the everlasting gospel tonight. But Billy gets up and preaches, and then he realizes, it's getting a little bit, you know, I've been going a while. So he just closes his message, and he turns around to go sit down. And the gentleman who is the superintendent of the Assemblies of God denomination is walking to the pulpit. And right at that moment of silence in between, I think it was one of the students in the balcony bursts out in another tongue. And I think a lot of the people there were thinking, "Oh, of all the times to do this when Billy Graham is here." And because they thought, well, he's unfamiliar with this and all that. So one of the students just bursts out, gives a tongue. Somebody else in the auditorium gives an interpretation to the tongue. And that was kind of it. And so the superintendent goes ahead and dismisses in prayer, dismisses the assembly, whatever. And so he's wondering, "Well, I wonder what Billy Graham thought of this." And so they go back to the speaker's room, and he asks Billy Graham what he thought about it. And this is what Billy Graham said. He said, "Well, you know, I quit my message early. I didn't preach my whole message. I had a point left. And that message in tongues and interpretation gave the final point of my message. And he said, that was God. Billy Graham recognized that. He was on Christian television. Billy Graham was on Christian television a week later. And they asked him, the person interviewing him asked him a question. Billy Graham, you minister to people all over the world. You're always giving out. What encourages you? And you know what he did? He related that story. How that the Holy Spirit encouraged him by a tongue and interpretation, a supernatural verbal expression. The point of his final point of his sermon was given in that supernatural way. That encouraged and that blessed him. Another factor that I think is kind of interesting is that in some of these things that I'm sharing with you, the first two quotes in particular are from a book that Billy Graham wrote on the Holy Spirit. I have a few different views than what he had, but, you know, I'm not going to argue with the results he got in evangelism. But Billy Graham's sister-in-law, this would have been many, many years ago. Billy Graham's sister-in-law was diagnosed with tuberculosis. Her father was a doctor. And I think this is before they had all the cures and medicines they have today. And many people died. I think that was the leading cause of death for centuries, if I'm not mistaken, right? And I think the medical people had kind of done everything they could. And she went to a particular church where they believed the book of James. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him or her, anointing him or her with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And if they've committed any sins, they shall be forgiven them. And confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. She went to a church like that, that believed that. Just believe the Bible. How many of you know it's good to believe the Bible? And so she went to her medical doctor, who's also her father, and said, you know, I think I'm going to quit this medicine. I don't encourage anybody to quit their medicine without talking to their doctor. I think medicine's a good thing. Did you know that Augustine in the 5th century said the Holy Spirit works within so that when the medicine is applied from without, it may have a good effect? I'm not against doctors in any way, and if you're benefiting from a doctor, by all means. You know, did you know that Luke was a doctor? And I bet you anything. Well, I don't bet because don't do that, but I would be very inclined to believe that when Paul was beaten and whipped and in prison and he got out and his back was ripped open, I bet he said, Luke, you got any of that balm? You got any of that special mixture that you mixed up and rubbed into my wounds the last time I got whipped? You know, I just think God's the one that gave doctors that wisdom. So I'm not against doctors at all, but she, I think it was the kind of thing the doctors had done everything they could. They couldn't do anything else. And so she asked her doctor, Doctor, can I just not do the medicine? Because I don't think it was helping her. And just go get prayer. He said, yeah, you go get prayer. Well, she went and got prayer and she got healed. She got healed by the power of God. And Billy Graham talks about how that was a divine action of healing. So now some people want to know, this is an understandable question, well, why don't we see miracles the way they used to? Why don't we see miracles the way they did back in the Bible days? Did you know that sometimes I think we have an unrealistic perspective of what Bible days were really like? Do you think, let's say for example in the Old Testament, you think they just saw miracles every day, every day, every day? I want to show you scripture here. Scripture in, let's pop that up on the screen. In the book of Judges, Gideon said to him, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our father told us about? you know, referring to all the, did you know that there's always people who always look back at the good old days? Gideon looked back at the good old days. Israel was in trouble. Gideon hadn't seen any miracles. As a matter of fact, he'd seen Israel getting pretty brutalized and oppressed and things like that. And when the angel shows up, Gideon kind of whines. Well, where are all the miracles? What did he say? Where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about? You know what that means? He hadn't seen them in his generation. How many people are there who haven't seen a miracle in their generation? See, I hadn't seen a miracle in my generation. I was 18 years old. I hadn't seen anything. That doesn't mean that I wasn't about to. Gideon hadn't seen any miracles, but guess what? He was about to. Let's look at the next slide. Psalm 44. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us the deeds you did in their days, in days of old. What's that mean? We haven't seen it in our generation. Doesn't mean you're not about to. Let's look at the next slide, two verses. Psalm 74:9. We no longer see your miraculous signs. All the prophets are gone. Psalm 89:49. Where are your former loving kindnesses which you swore to David in your truth? See, all these people, they lived in Bible days and they weren't seeing them. But that doesn't mean they weren't about to. All through, here's one thing we know through history, is that things happen in cycles. Things happen in seasons. And the fact that they happen to be in a dry season doesn't mean that there was not about to be a wet season. Doesn't mean that there wasn't about to be an outpouring of the power of God. And I just wonder how many people we have in the church world today who are like Gideon. Oh God, where are all the miracles we read about in the Bible? You know, we hear about stuff that happened way back when. But you know what? God's not the great has been. He's the great I am. And I just happen to believe that if we would position ourselves to hunger after, thirst after, greatly desire, yearn for these things, I think, Pastor Jan, we could see a wonderful visitation of heaven. I'm going to skip a few slides, and I want to slip to, I think it's the second to last slide. If we could pull that one up. Yeah. See, this is how they prayed in the book of Acts. And now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. That's how they prayed in the New Testament. That's how they prayed in the book of Acts. Now, let me ask you a question. If we prayed like they prayed, do you think we might get the results that they got? Let me ask you that again. Because Pastor Jan, I think he's the only one that said something here. If we prayed like they prayed, do you think we might get the results that they got? What if some individual had prayed that way and somebody sitting there in the prayer meeting said, well, I don't think that stuff's for today. I think, now right then Jesus had died and been risen from the dead, but well, I think, you know, that happened with Jesus, but I don't think that's going to happen now. You know, what if you'd had half the people believing it and half not, and, you know, people, you know, when Jesus said, if any two of you agree, do you know what that word agree is? Pastor Jan, you're not allowed to answer that because I know you know. It's the word symphoneo. Sorry, it's where we get the word symphony. If any of you are in agreement and like a symphony to make the same noise, to make the same sound, then it'll be done. But see, one reason why we have, you know, throughout the world, much of the church is, they've renounced, they don't believe the Bible is the Word of God anymore. They don't believe Jesus was born of a virgin anymore. They don't believe that Jesus was literally raised from the dead. And honestly, I think a lot of the, if you don't believe some of those essentials, I mean, I'm going to leave this with God. How many of you know He's the judge and I'm not? But it's hard for me to understand how anybody could be truly born again who doesn't believe that Jesus was raised from the dead physically. I don't, that would absolutely not compute, at least in my understanding. I'm certainly going to let God make the final judgment as though I have to let God, and He's going to do that anyway. But what if true believers would begin to pray this way, and now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Now, why is that important? Because the word has to be spoken. When Jesus said that the disciples were to preach the word, God confirmed the word with signs following. The word has to be there. See, Christians aren't magicians doing magic tricks. It's not our power. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And when the word is preached, when the gospel is preached, then Jesus confirms the word with signs following. So their first prayer was not for healings or miracles. Their first prayer was for boldness to preach the word. And look at verse 30. By stretching out your hand to heal. When the word is preached with boldness, when people have one voice and one heart, then that creates an atmosphere, that creates an environment where God can move in those types of ways. I'm going to show you one final slide tonight. Let's look at the final one. A gentleman named Jerry Horner said this, and this is so incredibly true. In reality, the day of miracles has not passed. It is simply that for many people, the day of miraculous faith has passed. Does that make sense? The day of miracles, really, honestly, I don't know anything about a day of miracles. We have a God of miracles. I don't know that there's anything in the Bible about a day of miracles, but there's a God of miracles. And we can't relegate it to a certain day or time frame. We have a God of miracles. But when the church sees God for who He is, when we see Jesus for who He is, when we invite the presence of the Spirit of God to do in us, for us, and through us what only we can do, we don't step into a day of miracles. We encounter the God of miracles. And that's what prompted me to, do this work, to show that God has always been eager and willing. Anybody who would receive Him, anybody who would trust Him, anyone who would believe in Him was really opening up the door to a relationship with a supernatural God who's full of compassion and full of mercy. Let's all stand up. Father, we love You today. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your mercy. And Lord, we just want to thank You for the presence of God. We want to thank You that the Holy Spirit is here. We honor Him. We welcome Him. Lord, we believe You to do mighty things in Your church and through Your church. And Lord, You don't just want to do it through some preacher. You don't even just want to do miracles through the pulpit, through the pastor, through some guest minister. Lord, You want all of Your people to be so full of Your Spirit that every one of them is a vessel for Your power, for Your gifts to flow through. I want to do something right now. I'm going to pray. And I believe that God is looking for people who are willing to be used. And not just publicly in church, but, you know, Lisa just had a situation a week or so ago. I was speaking in Dallas and I flew on to Alaska and she flew to Tulsa. She sat next to a young man on the plane, and I don't remember how all of it went, but God just kind of stirred her heart, and she began to share with him, and, you know, she didn't do anything weird, or, you know, they just began visiting, and the issue of faith came up, and you said he was near tears, I think, and that he said, I've never, almost in tears, he said, I've never talked to a Christian like this before. That God was just working through her kindness, through her words, to make an impact. Are we available? Are we available to God? I want us to pray a prayer, and this is a prayer, you know, we might call it, Pastor Jan, in the old days, we might call this a prayer of consecration, and that's a good word, but I'd like to call it tonight a prayer of availability. Are you available? If God puts it on your heart to just even adopt someone as a prayer, how many of you know that can be a supernatural endeavor to pray for somebody regularly and consistently, to write a letter to somebody, to see somebody at work that's hurting and just tell them, hey, I know you're going through a tough time. I want you to know I'm praying for you. You know, we're not all going to have a big tent like Oral Roberts to pray for people in. Okay? We don't have to. That's what God called Oral Roberts to do. But what can you do? How can God use you in the sphere of your influence? You know, one way you can join in supernatural ministry is when your pastor is ministering the Word of God, instead of sitting there thinking, well, you know, I've heard some of this before, and now, yeah, what do I need on my grocery list and things like that? There's somebody here who hasn't heard it before. And maybe you're doing great and you don't need a healing or you don't need a miracle, but maybe you can be kind of a silent, I don't mean, you know, disrupt anything, but maybe you can just be praying while he's preaching and be praying for the people in this auditorium that don't know Jesus to get saved and that need to be healed, that they'll be healed and things like that. See, there are so many ways you can make yourself available to partner with pastor and with one another to create an atmosphere where God is more likely to move, because God is more likely to move in certain atmospheres than in other atmospheres. When he's respected, when he's honored, when people have compassion for other people, creates an atmosphere where God is much more likely to move. So I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Nobody needs to be looking around. But if you would really like to be a part of God's supernatural work in the earth, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I want you just to lift a hand to heaven. And with your uplifted hand, you're saying, God, here I am. I'm your child. I belong to you. And I'm not just here tonight. Father, we're not just here tonight to be recipients of your goodness, but Lord, we're here tonight to be vessels of your compassion to a lost and dying world. And Lord, I want in my life, now this is your prayer, Lord, I want in my life all of the gifts and the anointing of the Holy Spirit that you have for me. I'm not going to imitate somebody else or try to be somebody else. I'm not going to try to be Oral Roberts. I'm not going to try to be Billy Graham. But Lord, I just want to be who you called me to be. But I want to operate in the assignment and the destiny and the purpose that you have for my life. And Lord, I want to see Jesus be glorified in my life. And Lord, I want to see your Holy Spirit flow through me to reach the lost, to help the hurting, to bring compassion to people that need encouragement. Lord, I want to be a vessel of light and a vessel of salt and a vessel of healing. God, I am making myself available to you. When I come to church, God, I'm available to you. When I'm going about my day-to-day business, Lord, I'm available to you. Use me in the church. Use me outside the church. And Father, right now, I ask you to flood and fill each one of us afresh and anew with an infilling, an infusion of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just want to thank you for flooding my life with the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, the Holy Spirit's not a theory. He's not a theology. He's a person. And I invite the person of the Holy Spirit to flood my very life tonight. Fill me to overflowing. And let the gifts of God be released in my life. Empower me, God. Fill me and let the different gifts that you have, whatever they might be for my life, let them flow freely and function and just operate for your glory. Lord, not for my ego, but for your glory. I want you to lower your hands for just a second. We're going to give you an opportunity to do something right now. How many of you here tonight, you need some kind of healing or miracle or something from God in your life? I want you to raise your hand up real high. You need something from God yourself. All right? Here's what we're going to do. I'm not going to pray for you. We're all going to pray for one another. All right? So I want you, if you have your hand raised, hold it up real high. And if there's nobody, if there's somebody close to you, find them and lay hands on them. But if I see like several right here, so I need some people to come, maybe from over here and from over here. You come and find some of these folks, you know, come and find people whose hands are raised. Because I believe God is going to use you to bless these who have their hands up. No one with their hand up should be alone right now. There should be people surrounding them. Look behind you. Look beside you. Find people whose hands are raised. And let's begin to pray for these right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for healing right now. Thank you for the power of God. The anointing of the Holy Spirit, touch these people in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name, we speak healing. We speak recovery. We speak strength. Lord, we speak blessing into their bodies. Lord, we thank you for a release of Holy Ghost power as members of the body lay hands on these. We thank you that a wonderful work of the Spirit of God is taking place right now. And Father, we give you glory. We thank you for good testimonies of healing. We thank you for people that are being set free from even the torment, the harassment of the enemy. Lord, we just thank you for a supernatural work by the Holy Spirit. We thank you for it in Jesus' wonderful, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Praise God. Wasn't that good? It was really good, Tony. How many of you were here when Earl Hitson was here, that old logger friend of mine? And he was out cutting trees down. And one of the trees that he cut in half bucked up over and hit another tree and flipped that tree up, and it came down on his back. And it ripped off all his ribs from his spine. And he fell against a tree and fell down. And he felt like he was leaving his body. And he remembered Kenneth Hagin's teaching about now faith is. And he said, praise God, I'm healed. Praise God, I'm healed. And he started lifting his arms up and praise God, I'm healed. And praise God, I'm healed. Praise God, I'm healed. You know, one thing that we have not capitalized enough on, when do we receive? When we pray. And he kept saying, praise God, I'm healed. Some of you might remember his testimony. You can be seated for a second. He said, praise God, I'm healed. Praise God, I'm healed. And then finally he heard God say, healed men, get up. Can you imagine what he was thinking? He told me what he was thinking. He says, is that really you, God? It's almost like his mind wanted to say, do you understand what just happened to me? And God kept saying, healed men, get up. And it took everything within him to get up. How many of you remember that story that he told? And it took him quite a while to stand up on his feet. And he still felt kind of foreign to himself. And he said, praise God, I'm healed. Thank you, Lord. And he was thinking to himself, I'm standing. And I don't know how I'm standing, but I'm standing. And finally, the Spirit of God says, healed men walk out of the woods. And he got to thinking, how heartless. And another friend on the other side of the hill was a falling timber as well. And he heard Earl Hitson yell. And so he was doing his best to try to make it over to Earl. And so Earl started taking steps. And with each step, he said it was excruciating pain and he was having difficulty breathing. Well, when your ribs are not attached, it has an effect on the lungs. And so all of a sudden, he said the more he walked, he said the pain started to ease. And as he was walking, the Lord spoke to him, and here's what the Lord told him. If you guys remember, some of you, he said, healed men pick up their chainsaw. And he said, now I got to go back to get my chainsaw. Are you sure that's you, God? And God said, well, you're saying you're healed. Healed men go back and get their chainsaw and carry it out with them. And so he goes back. He just can't believe what he's doing because he's so full of pain. But the pain is starting to ease. And he picked his chainsaw up. And he began to walk out. And he didn't even know how he was doing that. And as he was walking out with his chainsaw, he said, praise God, how far do I have to walk with this chainsaw? And you know what the Lord told him? Walk out of the woods. Walk out of the woods. And so he gets down close to the road, and his enemy came running up to him, saying, Earl, what happened to you? And you know what Earl did? Started telling him what happened to him. And the pain started coming back. Remember Dad Hagen said when he got healed and he was going to school and he started letting people carry his books because he was so thin and walking up the and the Lord instructed him to carry his own books because healed people carry their own books. Remember that? See, I don't mean to preach on top of you, but yeah, I'll put the icing on the cake. Well, you know, the problem that we don't realize is what I was sharing with Tony as he was sharing about all the, his book and everything that was in it. One thing that they did not have, the closest to, out to first and second century, even third century, these people that were operating in the power of God, the converts of the apostles, they didn't have church jargon like we have it today. You know, and so thank God for people like Kenneth Hagin coming along and teaching us how to receive and faith is really how you respond to what you have received. And I like what you said about hearing. And so Earl Hitson said that the more he talked to his friend, the worst he felt. But he then realized after he got into the ambulance, he couldn't even get up anymore. And they took him to the hospital. You know, Earl Hitson fought with his back for years. just because he gave in. And God wanted him to walk out of the forest carrying his chainsaw. I do believe that if he'd have been obedient and walked completely out, he would have been totally healed. You see, a lot of us want body proof rather than word conviction. And God is so simple in that area, our intellect makes it very difficult. And so whatever that was worth, just wanted to share that. And I've had some miracles in my life that I treasure. And to be honest with you, even though I've seen them and believed them and seen them, I still begin to wonder, did that really happen? And that's when God told me, he says, your outer man can never really connect with the miraculous. That's why you always feel like that. I'll never forget, you guys know, Mike was here, Big Mike was here, and gave the testimony of him and I driving in my van and drove through that cow. I can see it in my mind's eye today that we missed it right through that cow. And I look back, and I seen it, I was a product of it. Did that really happen? Thank God that this outer man is going to be changed. Stand up, everybody. Wasn't that good tonight? Yes. Boy, Tony, we're going to have you back.
We want you back, Tony.
We want you back, Tony. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gift that you sent our way. And Father, we thank you that you're raising up this gift to encourage the church to get back to where the inception of the church began, before church history got plugged into us. And so Father, may his voice be heard to eradicate by the manifestation of the power of God that can come from us in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Have a safe trip home. God bless you.